Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. I'm in for myself. However, my partner Wendy Snyder is taking a well-deserved day off and filling in for her, Harry Tynowitz. Harry, how are you?
I couldn't be better. I am just wonderful. I'm fine. Excited to be here in the new beautiful Showcase Skyline Studio.
It's your first time seeing the facility. It's very impressive, isn't it?
180 floors above sea level.
Yes, exactly right. What should people know? For people hearing you for the first time, what should they know about you?
They should know that I'm all stick, no field. And that I speak seven languages, if you count just one word as language.
Yeah.
And that I love any kind of Italian food in a can.
Well, that's impressive. That is very impressive.
Sure.
And it's those things, it's the combination of those three elements that got you the job today.
Yes, I'm very, very happy, very excited, very, very glad to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. Something happened to me last night, and I thought of you immediately, so it couldn't work out better that you're here. One of my daughters, Kylie, is in from New York, and she loves the Cubs. So as kind of a last-minute thing, I was able to secure some tickets to last night's what would have been Cubs-Dodgers game.
Uh-huh.
However, thanks to the rain, that game did not take place.
No, the rain and the lights.
Yeah, right. But we still, we had a wonderful time, despite there not being a game. It's still fun, you know, to be there and hang out there at Wrigley. There's a bar about, a block and a half north of Wrigley Field that I think is part of the new, for people who have not been to Wrigley in the last year or two, you won't recognize Wrigleyville. They've completely restructured Wrigleyville, right?
It has been ricket-sized.
It has been ricket-sized, right. Places that were there forever are gone. I'm thinking of you, Yum Yum Donuts.
They're gone.
All right, so there's a lot of new bars and restaurants in the area, hotels and stuff like that. Included in this mix is a bar called Whisk. Have you ever heard of it or been there?
We wash our clothes in the bar Whisk.
It's a different Whisk. Oh. Totally different Whisk. The decor of Whisk is interesting because there's about 11 works of art hanging on the walls of Whisk, each of them a picture of Nick Offerman.
Really? the fine local actor who starred in Parks and Rec.
Yes. One picture has Nick Offerman looking. It's the same look on Nick's face in every photograph. Kind of a snide, I'd rather be anywhere but here look. One of them is him in front of an American flag. Another is him in front of like a prairie setting. Another is him with a big city behind him. It's just, it's all different paintings and pictures, photographs, lithographs of Nick Offerman with various backdrops. And I don't know, I mean, I give them big points for being that daring.
Right.
But, like, if I ran that past a business partner, at some point this would come up. Why?
What?
Why would you do that?
Well, I mean, he's got local roots.
Yes, he does.
And he's very, very, I love his work. He's very funny. He's very talented.
Yeah.
Maybe they just, you know, they were committed to Nick's and they couldn't get enough Nick Nolte pictures.
Maybe that's what it is.
Nick DiGilio.
Nick DiGilio's always available.
Right, right.
You know, Nick Offerman is one of those guys, so I'm not even sure what he looks like.
You'd know him in a million. He's got a
I know what he looks like.
Yeah.
But he has so many different looks, I don't know what his
I get it. Yeah.
Or could have been, maybe it was like an Offerman thing, and he couldn't find enough pictures of former Dodgers shortstop Jose
Offerman.
Right, look at you.
I don't know why they did it, but I can't tell you how enthusiastic both my daughter and I were to look in. We didn't go in, we just looked through the window, but you can see, like, as you're passing by it, you can see a couple of the pictures, but then upon closer review, you look in, you go, every picture in the place is of him.
No, he's got a famous wife.
Yeah, Megan Mullally is his wife.
So, like, does the next bar, is it all pictures of Megan Mullally?
Oh, yeah, but that's been there for years.
Okay.
That's no big deal. I'm used to that place. It's the Nick Offerman bar that interested
me. I mean, it's so the Hotel Zachary is there.
Yeah.
And all, the other thing is, like, those bars that for years were just, like, joints.
Yes.
They're, like, all spritzed up
now. There's a bar there called Rizzo's. Is that owned by Anthony Rizzo, or is that just a coincidence?
I think it's owned from the character in Grease.
It's going to
be
really?
A long show.
It's going to be a long show. For people just doing it, it's going to be a long show.
When the two of you start going at it like this.
Right.
I don't know if the Anthony Rizzo owns that bar or not. But, I mean, if I'm in Wrigleyville and there's a bar called Rizzo's, how's that not going to be incredibly popular?
Yeah. Steve, was it you a couple of weeks ago who
yes.
said if you were just standing there and not thinking about it and looked around, you wouldn't even recognize it as being Clark or Wrigleyville anymore?
I don't know if it was me, but I do believe that. And,
yeah.
When you walk up to the park now, it's not the same sort of feel or view of it. You know, the ballpark has actually sort of been engulfed by all the development around it. Whereas the Wrigley used to stand out around it, now Wrigley...
It's hard to now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The park is unbelievable there. I mean, there's...
With the widescreen TV.
With the widescreen TV.
Kids frolicking in the grass as they watch the game.
I was thinking my grandpa, you know, what would he think if he could see it like this today?
Almost unrecognizable.
Nuts on Clark, still there?
Nuts on Clark is still there.
Okay.
That's not going anywhere.
Better be.
Yeah. So out of the 30 major league stadiums, stadia... is it only Fenway and Wrigley that are really in a neighborhood and not separate, where it's more of a travel destination to get out to the park? Those are the only two, I think, left in Major League Baseball that are right in the heart of a town or a city, right?
Well, I mean, there's other stadiums that are in, like, you know, that are like close to, you know, downtown, that are close to where the action is, but
not where you could live. I mean, people live right across the street from Wrigley Field. You can't do that at most stadiums, right?
Guaranteed rates pretty close on a couple
sides.
What about Progressive? Used to be the Jake in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Isn't that...
But I know what you mean. That's sort of organically part of the neighborhood.
Right.
But what needs to happen next with Wrigley, and I know that Crane Kenny has been on this for a while, is they need to, like, get the streets closed, you know, for a couple hours before and after the game.
Right.
So people can, and they do it in Boston on Yawkey Way, people can enjoy their, you know, whether it's an alcoholic beverage or just a soda or a Snapple.
Uh-huh.
You know, just like, you know, take over the streets.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be fun.
Well, now that there is a bar that just has pictures of Nick Offerman, I think what we've learned is anything can happen.
Right.
We live in a world now where anything is possible.
Right, and I was by Cork and Kerry when I went to the Sox game on Saturday.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
And it's got the scoreboard likeness.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. A lot more show. It's Harry filling in for Wendy, and it's me, Bill, on WGN. Bill left. Terry Tynowitz, Harry filling in for Wendy. Wendy will be back tomorrow. I'll ask a question of you now, Harry, that I already think I know the answer to. Do you mind talking about food with me for just a couple seconds? Is that all right?
Boy, am I happy to talk about food.
Food talk, yeah.
Yeah, food talk.
Two stories in the news, both having to do with fast food places. Neither of them favorable.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Don't be sad. It's okay.
I thought you were going
to... Jasmine, could you bring some Kleenex in for Mr. Tynowitz, please? This may make him very, very sad.
So I'm not, like, losing one of my favorite fast food items.
No, nothing's going... No. Nothing that tragic.
Away.
I would warn you in advance.
Hey.
I would give you 48 hours in advance if that were going to be the case.
Thank you.
If the McRib was being canceled, I would call you 48 hours out and go, Harry, there's something I got to break to you on the news, on the show, so just be ready for it. Here are the stories. I will do them one at a time because
it's a lot to take in.
Yeah. There is a picture, actually a video going viral right now of a Wendy's restaurant located in Catoosa, Oklahoma, where one of the workers at the Wendy's photographed a bag of hamburger buns with a live mouse in it.
Oh!
Yeah.
I really don't like that story, Bill.
So should we punt? Should we go in a different direction? So what you see is, you know, these Wendy's have...
Is it a square mouse?
No, it's just a mouse. It's a mouse. It's a mouse that loves Wendy's hamburger buns. You see a bag of buns, which we used to call you in college.
Hey.
And in the bag is a very active mouse, enjoying himself. Seriously, if you're a fan of mice, this mouse is in very good spirits.
Were there poppy seeds on the buns?
Let's hope. I'm not sure exactly what was on the buns.
Best case?
Best case scenario is they were poppy seeds.
So this worker person, instead of, like, trying to get the mouse out, decided to videotape it.
Well, he did it because, according to the story, he wants his bosses to act on this. He doesn't want this to just go away. He wants people to see that at this particular Wendy's. Now, I've eaten at Wendy's many times. I've never had an incident there. It's always delicious.
Oh, I'm a big fan of Wendy's.
Yeah, me too. So he just wanted to call attention to the fact that they need to spruce up the job of making sure that no mice are in bags in the, you know, in the restaurant.
He really took it to an extreme.
I think he did.
Is this mouse related to Pizza Rat?
It doesn't say in the story. I'll reread the story, but it doesn't say if he was or not. The other story is a Dunkin' Donuts story. This took place in Baltimore, where a Dunkin' Donuts has asked customers to report employees who speak a foreign language. And if you do this, like if you visit this particular Dunkin' Donuts and somebody working behind the counter is speaking any language that is not English, you would then file a report. You would say, hey, I went to your Dunkin' Donuts. The guy was speaking, fill in your favorite language here. It wasn't English. It was you name it. And very upsetting to me because this is America and this guy was speaking from. So if you do this, the Dunkin' Donuts will, in exchange for your testimony that they were speaking another language, they will give you a voucher for a free coffee.
What?
What do you make of this?
I think there are people out there that would sell their souls for a cup of coffee. They don't care who gets hurt.
Right.
As long as they get their Joe, long as they get their Java.
Don't you think, though, I understand the argument. The argument has been made forever. Hey, if people from a foreign land have come to our country, they must learn our language. I get that.
No.
And more times than not, that is the case. But if a guy or a girl is working at a place and feels the need to converse in their native tongue, you can't tell them to stop. It's not hindering the job.
Right. And like, what if you're like ordering like maybe not at Dunkin' Donuts, maybe like at Starbucks, if you order like a cappuccino, isn't that like a foreign tongue?
Yes.
Isn't that like another word, another language?
You are then facilitating the speaking of foreign tongue there, just by ordering that. Yes. Good point, Harry.
I mean, as long as they're asking you, what do you want?
Right.
Well, how can I help you?
What if the donut you want is French vanilla? Are you trapping them? I think you're trapping the employee.
You would think, like, hey.
Like a French vanilla and a Bavarian chocolate.
Irish
coffee.
The people upset by this are the same ones then who go overseas and expect their waiters to speak English to them.
Well, Steve, you know, because you just came from foreign soil. You just came from a place where that was the case.
And you should shower.
Thank you.
There is this weird elite attitude of us in America when we go other places. I'm sure you've seen it. Where exactly that happens, right?
I saw a woman go ballistic because she couldn't. Not only could she not get ketchup in a French restaurant, she was demanding Heinz ketchup.
Oh,
I'm not kidding you.
I like her.
You must have Heinz. How can you not have Heinz ketchup?
Was this wasn't somebody that was part of your group, was it?
It was my wife, Sharon.
Oh, it was. Okay, good.
No, this was probably 10 years ago or so.
What if you order a Danish?
Right. Good point, Harry.
Thank you
very much.
Did you see Disney World's new version of a hamburger?
Well, I know that Disney World is now, because The Incredibles has come out, they've put together some sandwich that's Incredibles-based, right? Is that their new hamburger?
I don't know. Is that where the origin of this? I just saw the picture of it this morning. It's a hamburger with mozzarella cheese sticks on top of it.
Oh, healthy.
Healthy. Isn't it fun?
Healthy and delicious.
Isn't, like, the point of mozzarella sticks to, like, you know,
enjoy them
individually?
Yes.
Yeah, put them in the sauce. Some people like a little sauce. I don't know what's wrong with them. Some people like a lot of sauce. Why would you put them on a burger?
Well, there's a propensity now with restaurants to build whatever you're getting to put extra stuff on it. I've been to two restaurants in the last couple of weeks that have onion rings, you know, big, giant onion rings cooked into the hamburger. It's part of the hamburger. Yeah, it's part of it. It's no longer a side dish. It's part of the ensemble of a hamburger. And I don't know that it... I don't know. I can eat them separately. It's not that hard to do. Right?
Remember Acorn on Oak?
Yeah, I do remember that place. Yeah.
They used to put, like, onion soup in their burgers. Delicious. Well,
that does not sound bad.
No, it was really good. Bad. Of course, Bertram's wife always wanted Heinz ketchup.
Right. All right, so where do we stand on this? If you're an employee of Dunkin' Donuts or a similar place, are you, in fact, allowed or not allowed to speak a language other than English while you're working? I think it's okay.
Yeah,
you think it's okay?
As long as you're asking the customer in English,
I
would think it's good.
They're not specific. I looked through the story to see exactly when and if they would allow any speaking of a foreign...
Mm-hmm.
So if you go into this Dunkin' Donuts... and you're trying to place your order, but they're only speaking a foreign tongue, I could see where it would be problematic, but why would you hire that person in the first place if he or she didn't speak much English?
Right. What would these people say if they walked into Billy Goat?
Well, they're still speaking English in the Villegrode.
Sort of.
There's a lot of Greek influence in their English, but it's still English, isn't it?
I guess.
So you're running a restaurant, and your personnel in the back or wherever communicate better to each other in another language.
Right.
You'd rather have them not understand each other and speak English
exactly.
Poorly?
It's so much better. If the best way to get your point across is to speak another language in the kitchen or in that situation, please, by all means, do it. There's a restaurant I go to every once in a while, an Italian place in Evanston, and the owner is from Italy,
mm-hmm.
and he knows there's people that come in that converse with him in Italian, and I think that's part of the charm of the place.
Absolutely.
I like that.
I would feel like it's authentic, you know, it's real.
Yeah. Marianne wants to weigh in on this. Marianne, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I was an ELL teacher for a long time, or ESL.
Yeah.
So I know that there is actually no law that exists saying that English is the only language spoken in the United States.
Right.
It is the dominant language. It's the language we use. But they're not breaking any law by speaking their own language.
I don't think so. Yeah. And you wouldn't be put off if you were in a shop like this and they were speaking another. You wouldn't go elsewhere for your business because of that, would you?
No. And you could tell by people's body language when they're saying something rude or inappropriate. You don't need to speak the language to see that they're just communicating with one another.
Exactly. Well said. Thanks, Marianne. Appreciate it. Have a great
week.
Thank you. Take care.
You too.
All right. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Steve will give you the news, and then there's a lot more show. Bridget Carey from CNET will be by later on to tell us about things in the technological world that I don't understand. So that's a highlight.
Maybe if she would speak in English.
Maybe if she spoke it. Maybe. Stick around. A lot more coming your way next. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff. It's Harry Tynowitz. Harry's filling in for Wendy. Wendy will return tomorrow. Bridget Carey joins us in about 10 minutes from CNET to give us a look at what's going on in the world of technology. But first, Harry, I ask you this. I know how much you love sports, and I will say that of all the people I've ever met in my life, nobody loves sports as much as you.
I love sports.
You love sports.
Sports have always been there for me.
Yeah? Yeah. A friend through thick and thin. Would you agree with me?
Yes.
That's what sports have been to you.
Yes.
Why am I not enjoying soccer? It's World Cup time. And the world is just in love with the World Cup. But for some reason, as much as I try, I cannot get into it. Why?
I think this could be similar to the Dunkin' Donuts story we were talking about. I think maybe because you're an American. The latest thing I'm working on for the Athletic is what Americans will be doing while the rest of the world is watching the World Cup.
All right, so it goes beyond me, based on what you just said. Why is the rest of the world enjoying what we call soccer and they call football, but to us it's just a why?
We've got the NFL. In America, football is king.
Yeah.
We love football. We just, you know, we can't get enough of football, and we just saw our football. We just saw, you know, the NHL and the NBA, and even though the NBA has better ratings, I prefer the NHL to the NBA. You know, baseball is a sport we've grown up with, but soccer, I think in America, we need more action.
Mm-hmm.
And a great part of soccer is setting up the goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rare that you have like a breakaway like you'll have in hockey,
mm-hmm.
or like in football, running back will just get the ball and go 95 yards once in a while. So I think that soccer, there's a lot of strategy involved, and Americans are really kind of just like, hey, we want to see more scoring.
There was a game the other day. Now, keep mm-hmm. in mind, this is the World Cup, which I believe is the pinnacle of soccer. There's no higher soccer contest than the World Cup, right? And they do it every year?
Every four years?
I believe the game at the end of the movie Ladybugs is
the pinnacle. That's the biggest.
Yes.
World Cup second, though.
Yes.
All right. So some game ended 1-1, mm-hmm. and I heard on two different news outlets them saying how disappointing this was because the fans don't want to leave a tie game, especially in the World Cup, But at some point, you just realize it's not meant to go further than this.
Well, I thought they did, like, you know, what do you call it? Extra kicks?
An extra kick.
Right. Like, yeah. You know, I thought they did the
sudden death overtime winner take all.
The next round, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
Well, why don't they start that now?
Yeah.
Like, I understand why the NHL doesn't go to overtime in the regular season. You can't have games go until 3 in the morning every night. But
because, Harry, it's a game the whole world enjoys, and they didn't consult the Harry Tynowitz.
Now.
But Steve, are you a fan of this? Are you watching any of this?
I'm watching. I am a fan of it. I wouldn't say I'm a, you know, I don't know a lot about it, but I love watching World Cup. Just keeping track of it and watching the athletes and the fact that you're loosely representing your own country.
Yeah.
I think it's in the whole world. Look, again, I don't want to keep talking about traveling, but
yeah.
I'm walking around cities, you know, last weekend, and you could hear roars out of these bars. Everyone's there. And their home country wasn't playing, but everyone watches the matches.
I used to get roars in bars all the time. We is said last call. I tell you what else I think is important in this.
What is it?
Is the superstars. You know, I mean, in America, we love our superstars. We love LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
We love Steph.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we love, you know, Harden. We want to see the superstars. And in America,
all I can name is, I can name Pele, who I know hasn't played in 30 years.
Doesn't play, right?
And Kyle Wroote Jr.
He was great on Superstars.
That's where I know him from.
Ronaldo had a hat trick over the weekend.
I know him too, Steve. Thank you.
Oldest World Cup hat trick in history.
Yeah.
Okay, there should be two others there's one other that's obvious.
Beckham.
No.
David Beckham?
Leo.
Leo Biscaglia.
Leo Sayer?
Yeah. You know I can dance. You know I can dance.
Who's
Leo Messi.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know Lionel Messi?
Oh, no.
Lionel Messi is like the greatest soccer player in the world.
No, see, I wouldn't.
And then
I wouldn't have gotten that.
And Neymar.
Neymar?
Neymar.
The fortune teller?
Yes, the fortune teller.
Who is Neymar?
Neymar, I believe he's on Portugal, and Portugal the Man.
Yeah.
And Neymar is like one of the great, great soccer players in the world. So I think that that's something that we miss as Americans. You know, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know, pick an NFL team.
Right.
You know, if we watch the Super Bowl, we want to see a superstar in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I don't think, like, the average American probably knows 2 or 3 players. And these are the greatest players in the world.
All right, so now this goes off of Steve's point a little bit. I have been on foreign soil. I've been in Costa Rica and Mexico, a couple of other cities where...
Mm-hmm. Well, big, big win for Mexico.
I know. But if you walk around any time of the day or night, they're watching soccer from some other country, and there's a crowd gathered, and they're going nuts. It's 2:30 in the morning in Costa Rica, and they're watching Brazil play Portugal, and the place is a madhouse. So the passion is there everywhere else, but here it just seems to be lacking. And maybe you're right. Maybe it is because we're inundated with other sports around the calendar.
Right.
There's never any downtime,
and there's not a lot of scoring, and we want superstars,
right?
You know, if they would give more soccer players commercials, you know, hello.
That's the key?
That's the key, but, you know...
Expose them more.
Right. They're using instant replay now in the World Cup.
Yeah.
And England should have had about 15 goals in their game, but they had a goal that looked on TV like it wasn't a goal, but they called it good.
Did you know... Now, my friend Scott, who I play tennis with, is major into soccer and knows everything about it. So he explained to me that soccer balls now have chips inside of them.
In case they get lost?
No. So that they know if the entire soccer ball crossed the plane. Like, there's a plane of the net, so the chip registers whether the whole ball did or did not cross the plane. So... I think if we knew more stuff like that, more cool scientific facts, maybe that would win us over.
So, you know, it goes back to a conversation from like 10 years ago in football. Why don't the goalposts have chips that go straight up in the air?
Oh, that would be perfect. So you would know whether or not the ball crossed the plane.
Right. So on a field goal, like sometimes it looks like the kick was wide and they call it good or vice versa.
Yeah.
You would think, hey, why don't they just get a chip and do it like that?
Well, they don't have money. The NFL doesn't have any money, Harry.
There's no money in the National Football League.
Zero. No, they're just getting by.
My friend Kenny Stern, you know, this is Lee Stern, you know, the Chicago Sting.
Yeah.
They brought the World Cup here in '94.
Yeah.
He gets so fired up for the World Cup and just the rest of the world just, I mean, the rest of the world is with them, but America doesn't care.
What about a guy like you who breathes sports? Is there any kind of a spike during these weeks of the World Cup? You're not glued to it, are you?
No,
it just kind of happens.
I'm not glued to it. I watched like Sunday the U.S. Open on the final round.
Yeah.
So I'm not like a big golf fan, but like the final round of a major, that's interesting to me.
Sure.
And Mark WGN Radio's Mark Carmen at the Carm, he'll get upset, but tennis does nothing for me.
Yeah. Oh, that's not right.
Well, tennis, to watch tennis?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that Nadal is like the greatest champion ever, but these tennis players don't have any personality.
Yeah.
You know, McEnroe had personality.
Right.
Connors was a bit of a jerk, but he had personality.
Right.
Ely Anastasi had personality.
Right.
Pete Sampras was like watching toast.
Yeah.
He'd go on Letterman, he wouldn't say anything.
So the key to those guys selling it is be a little more controversial, be a little more dangerous.
That's personality.
Yeah.
Like Agassi had personality.
Yeah.
Who's got personality today? Federer?
Not a whole lot.
No. To me,
player, but not a lot.
Right. To me, Venus and Serena.
Yeah.
That's exciting when they're playing.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that we've learned, and I'm always reminded of this when it is World Cup mm-hmm. time, is when reporting on the scores of a soccer game, you cannot say 1-0 or 2-0. You must say nil.
Nil.
Right. And is there some reason behind that, or is that just tradition?
I could make up a story.
No, I don't want you to put yourself out.
I know when you refer to Springsteen's guitar player, you have to say Nils Lofgren. You couldn't say nothing Lofgren.
Right. So Zero Mostel would be Nil Mostel.
Yes.
The song Saved by Zero would be Saved by Nil.
Less than Zero, Elvis Costello.
Yeah. All right, now it makes sense.
Same principle there.
That makes sense. So we shouldn't be ashamed if we're not enjoying the World Cup. We should just let it happen, and everything will be back to normal soon.
Right. And I'm telling you, but as we get like to the big, finish of the World Cup, I think more people will take interest then.
When you get to the semifinals and the finals.
And then we want to see how Russia cheats also.
Yes.
I mean, the tournament is in Russia. There's got to be, right, Steve? There's got to be something fishy going on over there.
All I know is that Sister Jean called me during the last match, and she goes, I'm bored out of my mind. And I go, Sister Jean, just be patient. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got Bridget Carey joining us from CNET in just a moment. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. Bill Leff, it's Harry Tynowitz. Harry sitting in for Wendy, who will return tomorrow. And our guest every Tuesday is Bridget Carey from CNET. She's a senior editor over at CNET, and she tells us what's going on in the world of technology. How are you, Bridget?
Hey, doing good. How are you?
Nice to talk to you. Tell us what's going on. And actually, if you wouldn't mind, start out with this iPhone news, because this could be good. What's going on over at iPhone?
Okay, well, Apple announced that in their next software update, you'll be able to, let's hope you don't have to call 911, but mm-hmm. if you do from your iPhone, the dispatcher will know your location. They're adding a feature in their next iOS 12 coming out in the fall, where by just calling 911, the phone will be sending information about your location within about 160 feet of accuracy. So it's pinging the cell towers. It's pinging nearby Wi-Fi routers, as well as using GPS if you have that turned on.
Why did this take so long, do you think?
Well, making a company do it kind of is a good motivator, because the FCC just said that everyone has to do it by the year 2021. Apple really is the first to launch it. Google says they're working on it. The FCC wants all carriers, so they want AT&T, Verizon, and such to do it. But with Apple, they kind of need to have access to the code, and Apple's very protective about that, so they wanted to do it themselves.
So, Bridget, if I'm getting this right, for the last several years, if you called 911 from your home, but for some reason you weren't able to audibly tell them what your address was, they could pick it up because of the signal of your home phone. They could just trace it easily, but now that technology will be there with all cell phones, right?
Right. This is about, because there's always a different case depending on, like, what you're connected to, where you are, and if it's a cell phone or a landline. So, the dispatchers are getting software with a new system. It's all going to be working with that system. That's the big key here. Everyone's kind of working together on having everything talk the same language.
Bridget, I'm the guy who's with my kids when, like, Bill Clinton walks into the, restaurant, and I want to take a picture of them with the former president. president and I don't have enough space. Tell me now, I hear that there might be more photo space coming in my phone.
Yeah, this is kind of one of those dorky stories that you never thought you cared about JPEGs, but behold, there might be a new type of photo file JPEG that will take up about 60% less space. So we're snapping photos constantly. All these device makers are working on ways to kind of compress that file, make it tighter, so you can have more phone capacity. This new JPEG is called JPEG XL, and actually the JPEG itself turned 25 years old this year.
Oh, happy birthday, JPEG!
Yeah, I didn't get it anything.
It looks 22,
and it's already dead, right? So yeah. We're already talking about the next one.
Yeah.
But the thing about the JPEG XL, yes, it will improve, the fact that we'll have more space on our phones. That is, there's a little hiccup. I mean, Apple, Google, Microsoft, the web browser Mozilla, they're all working on their own versions of this. So you're going to start seeing all sorts of different file formats and extensions with dot whatever that you're not used to seeing, because everyone, will have their own way to make their photo files smaller. That said, there is motivation for them to all talk together. Let's hope that these files work, because you don't want to be taking photos with your phone and not be able to open it on your Windows computer later. So it's basically, because consumers hate these little wars we have about, like, whose standard works with what.
Yeah.
So that might be a future headache, but in the meantime, let's hope it all works out and we have more room for more photos.
What about this, Bridget? If you have saved a bunch of photos over the years in JPEG form and now they've updated it, will they still be viewable or will that be a problem?
Yeah. I mean, everything backwards compatible, like, that'll still work. It's more about, like, when they start taking photos in the future, like what's the extension going to be? Is it going to be dot whatever?
Yeah.
Is it going to be dot JPEG XL or whatever Apple uses or whatever Microsoft uses? And everyone wants theirs to win out.
Also, there is, and this is no surprise, there's some Elon Musk news. What do we need to know about him?
He's a little dramatic, really,
yeah.
If you could say that.
Yeah.
He sends this email to his Tesla staff in the middle of the night warning them of an employee that is a saboteur, basically logging into the manufacturing operating system, adding bad code, and then making off with vast amounts of sensitive data. But he doesn't end there in the email. He goes on, Musk being Musk, he starts widely speculating in the email who could be behind this. Is it the gas industry? Is it Wall Street short sellers? Or is it people who are angry they were laid off? Because, last week they had to lay off a huge amount of people, like 9% of the workforce. And there's also a lot of stress with Tesla right now. I mean, they have to make 5,000 Model 3 cars every week to the end of the month to make their goal. So, this email kind of waxes on about, like, the mission for the company, how everyone's against them and everyone wants to see them fail. That's Musk being dramatic for you, but also very interesting that he would just say that there's someone in their midst who's purposely sabotaging.
It's very mysterious. Did you see the story about him in our city, Chicago, about how he's getting the contract to build these high-speed tunnels underneath the city from downtown to O'Hare?
Right. And then there's some, questions over, okay, well, what's the capacity going to be for that tunnel versus other kinds of public transit, So everyone's kind of wondering. It sounds cool.
Bridget,
I
don't know.
That stuff.
Did you see, there's videos that they've posted. A lot of the news sources had them here the other day when they made the announcement. It makes it look like it's a sci-fi movie. I hope it's one-tenth as cool as it looks in these videos, because it really does look amazing if they can pull it off.
Yeah, it looks amazing. I think everyone's just wondering, how many people can you fit and how much time?
Right.
Like, will there only be one car going across, and at the same time you could have maybe multiple subway-type trains,
yeah.
So it's the capacity question for the cost that I think they'll have to, really sell us on, too.
Bridget, I love sports, and I wanted to watch a baseball game the other day. It wasn't on TV. It was only available if I had my computer or on my phone. Is that, like, going to happen? Is that, like, the new wave? We're moving more in that direction where certain sports, certain games, we'll only be able to view them on our devices and not on our televisions?
No way. You can only view a certain thing. I see now more and more that there are partnerships being made with Twitter and Facebook, that they want to be the place where you can,
right,
stream it on the web. But, usually, at least there's some provider of TV that might also still have those, but they're all doing all these deals now. So I don't keep up with it. I'll be honest. Like, it's a lot to keep up with when it comes to sports and who's streaming what and who's got what on what game on what week. But I have seen more and more deals being made with Twitter and Facebook hungry. They are so hungry for the sports views.
The strange thing of that is, I don't know if it's easier or harder to gauge ratings if you're only supplying it to a phone as opposed to a broadcast network. I there must be some way to measure it. I'm just not sure how accurate it is.
Because you'd want the ratings so you could charge your sponsors more.
Yeah.
They must be getting so much from Twitter and Facebook.
I would imagine. Bridget, thanks so much. Appreciate all the information.
Yeah, thanks. Good to talk to you guys.
That's Bridget Carey, CNET's senior editor. Go to CNET.com for more information. We'll take a quick break, then get you some news. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks very much. It's me, Bill, and then Wendy is off today, but Harry Tynowitz is filling in. Wendy will return tomorrow. Hi, Harry. Nice to see you.
It's great to be here. Hi, Wendy. Thanks for letting me sit in your chair.
She's not here.
Well, she's listening.
No, I don't think so.
Hi, Jimmy Mac.
He's listening. She died. So you've come with some depressing news about one of our greatest acting treasures.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, if you enjoy cinema...
Yeah.
You enjoy John Travolta.
Yeah, agreed.
And I know your wife is close with Margaret Travolta,
his sister. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're friends.
So John Travolta finally came out with Gotti, the epic gangster picture that he's been working on for like 9 years, and he got a 0 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Now, here's what I heard about that movie, that it's been done for years and years, that they finished it years ago, but they just weren't ready to release it, and then they finally did release it.
So they haven't been working on it?
No, that it's been a completed project, been done.
Why weren't they releasing it?
They just didn't know if it would do well, and as it turned out, it didn't do well.
Didn't do well. So this is the...
Did you say... Now, there's a rating service called Rotten Tomatoes where people who have seen the movie, they rate the films, and you said it got a 0?
John Travolta got a 0.
Oh, no.
Yes, and it is the third. It is a hat trick for Travolta. It's the third time that he has gotten a 0. He also got one
Can I guess?
Yes.
Battlefield Earth.
No, can you believe he didn't? No. He didn't.
All right.
Okay, the sequel to Saturday Night Fever.
Stayed Alive. Directed by
Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, very good.
Did I win anything?
No, there's no prizes.
Dang.
So he got a 0 for this new movie about John Gotti. He got a 0 for Staying Alive.
And there's one more where you don't see him on screen. It's just his voice.
Oh, what would that be?
I don't know what that is. I think Kirstie Alley played the female.
Oh, Look Who's Talking, 1, 2, or 3?
Look Who's Talking, 2.
Yeah.
So Travolta has the hat trick for 3 films with a 0 rating, but I don't believe that he is the worst actor in Hollywood.
He's not.
I think he's actually done some good stuff.
Yes.
I like John Travolta. I don't think he's great, but, you know.
He can be great.
Face Off is stupid. Right?
You don't think it's plausible for a good guy and a bad guy to trade faces? Harry,
I'm willing to suspend belief.
That's always a possibility.
I'll suspend belief in a lot of places, Bill, but that's one.
You don't think that could happen? All right.
No. So I've got somebody who I think is the worst actor going today.
So these are actors who are current.
Yeah.
And you think this guy is the worst.
And I would be interesting to know who the WGN listeners thought was the worst actor going today.
All right.
So this guy was in a movie that's considered to be one of like the, you know, the coolest movies of all time. And he also plays, I love Sandra Bullock.
Mm-hmm.
One of her greatest movies is Speed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he does everything he can to slow Speed down.
You're going to say Cool Breeze.
Yes, I am going to
say. Keanu Reeves.
Come on. Keanu Reeves?
You think he's the worst actor working today?
I think he's the worst actor going. And I know he's in The Matrix, but I think he benefits by the other people that are around him. I know he's in Point Break.
See, I think he's... Now, this may delegitimize me as a filmgoer.
Yes.
But I think he can be underrated, that every once in a while he'll make a movie and you'll watch it, and you'll go, oh, he was really pretty good in that.
For example. Besides Bill and Ted. Because he's great in Bill and Ted, but what else has he done?
All right, so here's one. There's a movie called The Lake House that he actually made with Sandra Bullock. It's not part of the Speed movies.
Right.
It has some time travel involved. And he's really very good in The Lake House.
I see your Lake House, and I raise you John Wick.
He was awful in John Wick.
Yes, that's my point.
But the script of John Wick had nothing to offer. There was no, you couldn't make John Wick good.
Well, but there's other actors that are in bad movies, and you know you enjoy them.
Yeah.
You know, you'll sit there and you'll watch them and you cheer for them.
Yeah. But not him, not Keanu Reeves.
Right.
Is it so bad that if there was a movie you wanted to see, and then you looked at the credits and you go, "Oh, but it's Keanu Reeves in it," would that keep you away from seeing the movie?
No, no.
You'd still
but
see
would,
it.
Right. What's the movie he did with Jack Nicholson, Diane Keaton?
Where he was a doctor? He was Diane Keaton's doctor.
Right, and he's like got an affair with her.
Right.
He's starting to date her.
That didn't have a title.
And it didn't have a title.
No, they didn't give it a title. They just called it the Diane Keaton movie where she dates a younger doctor.
You got Jack Nicholson and Diane Keaton.
Right.
And
who else?
Anne Hathaway?
I'm not sure Anne Hathaway is in it. You know who would know is, she's not here, so it's ridiculous to even bring it up, but if Wendy were here, she'd probably know.
Right, but then Keanu Reeves.
I came in to defend Keanu Reeves.
Did you drive
I was off
way?
Today, and I came
in. Just to defend Keanu
yes.
Reeves?
Do I have to leave?
No, you can stay, but don't speak badly of Keanu Reeves.
That's the man that Wendy loves, Harry, just so you know.
Educate me. Give me like...
Point Break.
Point Break?
He was really good in Point Break.
The bus one, Speed.
Yeah.
He was good?
Yeah, he was good in Speed. What's the one in Mexico where he lives in Mexico and he falls in love with a woman in
Named
Mexico?
Named Wendy.
That may have been a dream you had. That might have just been a dream. But he does, I mean, there are times where he falls into the same Keanu Reeves routine.
And then the worst Wendy is when they get. I started with Bill and Ted. He's awesome in Bill and Ted.
A Walk in the Clouds, by the way.
A Walk in the Clouds.
He's very good in
he's
that.
He's so good in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It tears at your heart.
What about what's the one where he's got the accent? Interview with the Vampire? Is that
he's
it?
Not in Interview with the Vampire.
What's the one where he's got the accent?
What kind of accent does he have?
Like a Transylvania accent or something?
Oh, he's in Bram Stoker's Dracula.
That's what
yes.
it is.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, you're going to watch that and tell me that Keanu Reeves is...
I thought he was pretty good in that. You
Come
didn't
on.
Like him in that?
No.
Devil's Advocate?
That's what...
Devil's Advocate, that's Taylor,
okay.
That's Taylor Hackford,
yeah.
Who I love, but... Yeah.
How can you love him and not Keanu Reeves?
Because Keanu Reeves kind of
you're
does
jealous.
The same thing.
Are you jealous of Keanu Reeves, Harry?
I'm jealous of anyone that's working, Wendy.
I heard Keanu Reeves on with Mark Harmon doing sports last week, and he was fantastic.
What?
He was fantastic.
What?
He knew everything about everything.
Oh, man.
You drove in just to defend him?
Yes. I couldn't stand it anymore.
Did you energize? Did you like Star Trek? You energized from your house?
Yes, I did.
All right, let's do this. We'll get your takes. Harry says Keanu Reeves is the worst actor working today in film.
Yes.
Not in stage. We'll do that separately. We'll do that closer to the Tony Awards. So who is the worst actor working in movies today? It has to be a man. You're not accepting women.
No, we'll accept women, of
yeah.
course.
Right.
I've been accepting
so.
Women since 1986.
All right. We'll come back with
Before
that.
Before that?
No, not as much. 312-981-7200. Who is the worst actor working today in film? Actor or actress? Still left. It's Harry Tynowitz who's in for Wendy, and it's Wendy who's also in for Wendy.
I feel a little guilty. I had a doctor's appointment this morning, and I feel like mom came home early to relieve the babysitter, and you guys now can't have fun.
We just ordered a pizza. It's not here yet. You can have some. You can have a little bit. All right, so Harry has posed
no
the question.
There's no girls here.
We swear. Harry has posed the question, who is the worst actor working in cinema today? He cited John Travolta because, according to Rotten Tomatoes, three times he has been given a 0% rating on that website. Mm-hmm. But you say it's not John Travolta. It is
Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves.
Something's Gotta Give
is oh, that's the
name
of the
movie with Diane Keaton and Jack Nicholson.
He's pretty good. You didn't think he was good?
No, he's awful in that. Come on. Is he like your nephew and you're just trying to encourage him?
I don't know what you're talking about. Nope.
I wish.
Nothing like that. Several people are agreeing with you, Harry. We've got a
Thank
bunch of texts
you.
From people who are agreeing.
Do you know why? Because they have two eyes and a heart.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. Let's get some phone calls in. We'll start out with Carolyn. Carolyn, who is the worst actor working in cinema today?
Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, how come?
Oh, my gosh. It's so lackluster when you see his films. You just want to turn it off.
Yeah.
You want it to be gone.
Have you ever liked him in anything you've seen Ashton Kutcher in? Has there ever been a movie or a TV show that you go, oh, that's not bad?
Not really, but getting back to Keanu,
yeah.
playing a doctor, hands off that one. Maybe choose a different role, but he was awesome in that movie. A handsome doctor.
Harry?
A handsome doctor.
I loved him.
No, you've upset Harry.
Loved
no.
him.
Keep it.
Sorry, Harry.
Carolyn, thank
a
you.
A woman's what perspective.
A, thank you for your call.
Harry, yeah? Woman's perspective. Military or doctors? Any actors off limits?
Yeah. Thank you. Take care. You seem confused.
Yeah, so she's saying if somebody plays a military character or a doctor,
yeah.
then they're
off limits. You can't make fun.
Really?
Yeah, that's the rule. That's the rule.
What if they were a military doctor?
I don't know the answer to that. Robert, I mean,
so everybody on MASH should have won an Emmy.
There's something to that. Robert, how are you? Who is the worst actor working in cinema today?
First of all, I have to say Harry's right on with Keanu Reeves.
Oh, listen
brutal.
To this.
Robert, you're a handsome man and an intelligent man.
Thank you. But I have a couple that I want to add to the team picture.
Please.
First of it, how about Adam Sandler?
Remember when he used to make funny movies?
Oh, Harry.
Well, yeah, I know. He's the same character in every single movie. He's brutal. And then the last one, Richard Gere.
Richard Gere, really?
Yes.
Was anything in particular that stands out?
He overacts in every single movie he's in.
All right.
I just, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Robert. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I kind of like Richard Gere.
I've really only seen him in Pretty Woman.
You know what you're going to get.
Chicago.
Did you ever see, there was a movie where Richard Gere, now they pair him with Diane Lane quite a bit.
I love her.
They made Cotton Club years ago and they were friends, so they always put them together. So there's some movie where Richard Gere and Diane Lane have a very happy marriage and everything's going fine, and then she has an affair and he finds out about it and he goes after the guy. The guy's a really handsome guy and he goes after the guy. And some dangerous things happen as a result of this. He's so good in that movie. I don't know the name of it. I'm going to go with As Good As It Gets because that's what paid off last time. So let's say any movie I don't know the name of is As Good As It Gets.
He was going way back. American
Unfaithful?
Gigolo?
Yeah. Unfaithful. That's it, Wendy. Nice call. Yeah.
You guys needed me here. You're not a very quick Googler, Harry.
I like to think
time?
Of it in my head.
I know.
Time?
Bill makes me do that.
Oh, he's also, there's a movie called Power that he's in about the people, like when somebody runs for an election, it's the people behind the candidate. He's so good in that. There's movies where he's not good in, but I like Richard Gere.
He's very good in Chicago.
Yeah, he is.
You know, Pretty Woman, I think he's great.
Yeah.
Online, Tom Cruise is getting a ton of votes as the worst actor working
today.
He's
not that good of an actor. Come on.
And I'll tell you who is also getting a lot of votes, and it's my second place actor. I had a winner, and then I had a runner-up, and that is the always overacting Nicolas Cage.
I was just going to say, he's my worst actor ever.
Especially Peggy Sue got married.
That's pretty good.
Thank you very much.
I'm
related to the Coppolas.
I like your Nicolas Cage better than Andy Samberg's Nicolas Cage.
Thank you very much.
Here's what's tough about Nicolas Cage is every once in a while, he'll make a movie like Adaptation or Matchstick Men where he's so incredibly great in it. And you go, oh, that's why I like him. And then the next two or three movies will come out and they're awful.
Leaving Las Vegas.
He's really good
in
Leaving Las Vegas.
Great in that. Captain Cochran's Mandolin.
Captain Corelli's Mandolin.
Oh, okay, I was close.
Yeah.
And then comedy, Honeymoon in Vegas, he's good in that.
Yeah.
But my wife, the other Wendy, makes, tell my wife, let's see, it's 11:26. Yeah. She makes fun of 8mm. You ever seen that movie?
That movie.
No, I don't like that. Did you enjoy that?
I don't know that I remember it, but I thought I liked it.
Mm.
What's it about?
Nicolas Cage is trying to find out if this snuff film is an actual film.
Oh, yeah, I liked that.
And there's a scene where he's like watching the film and he's sweating and he can't take it anymore. And
yeah.
She does
That's
an
great
impersonation
acting.
Of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not really good.
And Tom Cruise, I'm surprised we didn't get more of that. He makes movies like the coming attractions look like they're going to be terrific, like American Made.
Yeah.
And you sit there and go, okay, it's kind of like the Mummy picture.
Right.
But it's the stunts that he does well more than acting.
I think it is.
Because even The Outsiders, he was the weakest link there.
Yeah.
The Mission Impossible, you are the weakest link. The Mission Impossible movies, he gets better, everyone.
Woody Harrelson, by the way, getting a lot of votes online, which is surprising.
No,
I like Woody Harrelson, don't you?
He amazes me. He was good in the new Star Wars movie, and he was great in the Natural Born Killers.
Yeah.
Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock, is getting a ton of votes online.
Did Jasmine send that in?
Jasmine does not like The Rock. She
Steven Seagal should be on this list.
That's my winner.
I'm sorry to steal your thunder.
No, don't feel bad at all.
Because he doesn't act.
He doesn't make a lot of movies anymore because everyone woke up at the same time.
Steal Your Thunder sounds like a Steven Seagal movie.
Did you ever see the movie where he's in a coma for years?
And that was the best acting he's ever done.
That was his best acting. But when they wake him from the coma, he immediately, like in all of his movies, his wife and his kids were abducted or killed or something, and then he's seeking vengeance. But he comes out of a coma. He's been in a coma for over a year. He's tan and he's in great shape, which I don't think is possible when you're in a coma.
He's not now.
I know. All right, we must take a break. A quick break, some news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. Kim, thanks so much. It's Bill Left. It's Wendy Snyder and our friend Harry Tynowitz sitting in for us. And Harry, you found a story that I think qualifies as alarming, don't you?
I would say it's alarming, and I bet that a lot of people can relate to it. You know, Wendy and I have kids that are about the same age, not together.
Yeah.
But we both have talked about this before. My son, his ideal day, whether it's 85 and gorgeous out or if it's 6 below 0, his ideal day would be to be in front of his laptop for 15 hours playing video games.
No.
Well, does he play with friends online? Because now that's what you do. And I used to like going to parties.
Yeah.
My youngest will stay home and be with his friends, but they're all at their own house.
He'll play with people. He'll play with kids like he doesn't know.
Yeah.
And he'll go, this guy's in Kentucky. You know, how do you know he's in Kentucky?
How do you know he's a little kid, too?
Right. It's scary stuff.
Yeah.
And so.
Are they able to converse with each other through the game, or is it only play?
No, they can talk.
They can talk.
Yeah.
So they all have headsets on.
Yeah, they all have headsets. They're like a SWAT unit. They're like a military.
Really?
Yeah. They say, okay, you take the left flank and you take the right flank. And no, you know, I mean, wouldn't
I'll
you
be in Scotland before he.
Wouldn't you want to do that with your friends?
I love playing video games, and if there was a way to do it when I was younger, I'd like to go out to a party.
Right. But it's weird how generationally a kid today, to them, in their mind, they are hanging out with friends, even though they're not in the same room or in the same city in some of these cases.
Right. So the World Health Organization, and I'm sure Roger Daltrey is a part of that, who, they're in England, they have decided that this is an addiction.
Video gaming is an addiction.
It's called gaming disorder, and it is a mental health condition and an addiction. And there are three traits to it. And then the first one, Wendy, I'm sure you'll recognize this. Gaming behavior takes precedence over all other activities to the extent that other activities are taken to the periphery.
Not quite yet, but getting there.
You see it coming, though.
Yeah.
Does that scare you?
I don't know. I don't know, because that's kind of, I'm not alone, you're not alone.
Bill, if I don't tell Reggie it's time for lunch, he'll forget to eat.
Okay,
That gets serious. But they said, like, what you just described, that's almost the definition of almost any addiction is when it starts affecting you. Like, so I'm trying to remember who told me once, as soon as you are late for a job or something because of what you may or may not be addicted to, that's when it's an addiction, when you have to say to your boss, hey, I'm late, maybe you're even making up an excuse.
That's that alcohol quiz, you know?
If you've ever missed work
due to drinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or
those alcohol quizzes are so stupid. Did you ever drink more than you intended to? No, I wanted to get really, really
sure.
I see how this is now a condition now, because gambling and all these online gambling, that was the addiction first.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And this, the only good thing is maybe they're a little antisocial, but they're not losing money yet.
they're not losing money, but the trade-off is, whereas a kid used to have the ability, you know, to make that decision of, I'm just going to go outside and play and get exercise, now kids are playing games where they think they're exercising because they're, whatever they're doing, their character is running or playing football or whatever, when in reality, yeah, you're not getting exercise.
No, just your thumbs.
Yeah, right, that's right. It. Kids today have the strongest thumbs of all time.
And they talk about the disturbed sleep patterns, diet problems, and deficiency in physical activity.
Oh, I'm sure of that. I'm sure
that. Yes, yes, and yes. They all go together. All that? Well, not yet, but like I said, I think we're on the cusp of it.
All right, so have you or Jim at some point had to sit down and say, hey, we know you like your video games, but maybe you're playing a little too much, or has that not happened?
That's not happened yet because I don't know if it's become a problem. He still goes out and does stuff.
Yeah.
Not as much. And to be honest with you, there's something to be said with teenage drinking is down, teenage sex is down.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh. It's kind of almost, you know, at least your kid is home.
Right. Yeah. Are you concerned about it with your son? Because you always tell me he plays a lot of video games.
He plays a lot.
But you're not alone. I mean, other kids, that's what they do.
Yeah.
I understand that. And I'll, you know, and like the other day he was watching this guy who like is telling him how to beat this game, like one of these current new games. There's this guy, they have experts that shoot videos now.
The YouTubers, and they
got their own channels, and they tell you how to beat these games. I'm like, Reggie, that's all you're going to do today is watch other people play games?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry, Dad, what do you do every weekend? All right.
He's right, though.
Watch sports.
And Bill, weren't you telling me that, like, there's this thing now
in Asia.
Yeah, where, like, there are coliseums filled with people playing video games, and spectators come and watch that.
There's a nightclub scene where what you're watching when you go to these nightclubs is a pro video gamer playing a video game, and the crowd goes nuts just watching them on wide screens all over the club playing video games. I can't believe it.
In Vegas, they had like over 100,000 people for the video gaming championship.
Yeah, I heard
they're giving away scholarships now for video gaming. Are they really kidding?
I believe Lewis University.
I heard a commercial.
Here in
to draw up the code for a video game or to play a video
to
game?
Play
to
video,
play.
There's like video gaming colleges now. And, you know.
Instead of football. NFL.
I guess that's safer.
We could have been recruited, Bill.
We could have. We definitely could have. So how alarming is this? When you hear this, you go, is it a full-fledged addiction? I mean, if the World Health Organization recognizes it, it gets pretty serious.
Well,
right?
Again, addiction is an extreme word.
Yeah.
Addiction is a very extreme word.
Yeah.
But I do think that, you know, I wish that there were other things in his world that mattered a tenth as much as his time playing video games. And, like, you know, for his birthday was last month, and he seems like every year he's having the birthday. If you didn't give him a Steam card, he was, like, disappointed by the present.
Right, so he could go online and purchase a game of his choice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and, like, he got cash. His grandmother gave him cash, and he went right, Dad, can I go to CVS? He, like, ran to CVS, got a Steam card, came back, and he's playing some video games.
Oh, man.
The benefit I'm seeing is my youngest can actually put together a computer. So then I'm thinking maybe that's something.
That's handy.
He wants to be a director eventually someday. But he also, like, will get the hard drive and all these cards, and he gets the case and assembled a computer.
Wow.
So to me, that's beneficial.
It is beneficial. Hold on. I need to speak with Jessica. Jessica, you know a little something about this addiction, don't you?
It is a major problem in my life now, guys.
Why? What happened?
I have a husband who has always been super into gaming since we met and got married 8 years ago.
Yeah.
He's always gotten the latest games. We have every console. He's spent hours doing this, and I always kind of, you know, made fun of him, chastised him. And then in November, I travel for work. I'm a corporate sales trainer. He bought me the new Nintendo Switch because I could bring it with me and kind of play it in my hotel room at night, and that was fine. But then I found myself playing Zelda for like 8 hours a day. And yesterday I started finally playing a new game on Xbox, and that sucked me in for 10 hours. So it's not just a kid thing.
It is definitely an
adult thing. And it's just kind of mindless escape.
When you know, though, I mean, 8 hours a day and 10 hours a day of doing anything is a lot of time.
So you
recognize that. Are you trying to cut back, and is it impossible for you, or what?
Well, no.
No?
We don't have kids. We are both adults. We make good livings.
Yeah.
So it's like when I get home, I just kind of like to disconnect with my job. I talk to people all day long and to kind of be alone and just do my own thing. Yesterday we had the day off together, though, and my husband's like, can we go out to dinner? Can we go do something? Can we watch a movie? And I was like, I'm in the middle of this mission. I have to do this.
Oh, no.
That was me with Candy Crush.
The tide has turned.
That was me with Candy Crush. I would waste hours a day doing it. And I got to the point, thankfully, where other things became more important. But it is just you shut your mind off, and I don't have to worry about the grocery list. I don't have to worry about the new puppy.
Nope.
I don't have to worry about the kids playing video games.
But when you're doing
something... We are getting a new puppy, so I'm hoping that draws me
it will.
away from this a little bit. But honestly, it truly is just escapism at its finest. And I don't have to think about any of my world stresses. And
right.
I think Wendy's right. For the kids, you know, when I grew up, we didn't have a lot to do in Valparaiso, Indiana. So we did go out and party or hang out with our friends. We did cool stuff, but we also kind of got into some naughty stuff sometimes. There is something to be said for your kids being at home, knowing where they are, knowing what they're doing. And of all the vices, honestly, I feel like this isn't that bad.
You know, Jessica, with a new puppy, there's no virtual walking the dog, right?
I wish there was.
You have to physically take the dog out, Harry.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Jessica,
sure.
I hope things work out well for you. It doesn't sound like it's that alarming, but 8 and 10 hours a day is a long time.
So maybe we'll cut back, but there's always a new game, Bill.
Yeah,
like,
I guess so.
There's always something new coming down the pipeline.
You're not giving up important things to say, you know, I'm not going to go to work today because I'm going to play Zelda. I mean, you know, you are functioning. So to me, that's not a problem then.
But isn't that what alcoholics say, too? I make it into work sometimes.
I can quit anytime
I
want.
I do this okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, Jessica.
Love your show, guys.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
I said it was Lewis University. It's Robert Morris. Robert Morris here in Chicago offers scholarships. They refer to their scholarship students as athletes. And in the E-League, where if you play League of Legends, you can compete as a video gamer, you can make over $100,000 a year.
What?
Over 100,000, your kid.
Is that coming through sponsorship money? Where is that money coming from?
It's.
Let's text our kids right now to do that, Harry.
Yes. Well, see, Reggie doesn't want to be in this league because he says he doesn't want to be committed to one game. He wants to play other games. He doesn't want to just play League of Legends.
Yeah.
Then to me, that's not an addiction either. Although I like beer, I like vodka, I like tequila.
Mm-hmm.
All right, never mind.
Mm-hmm. Been there.
All right, let us do this. We'll take a quick break and then more of your thoughts on this. Video gaming addiction, is it affecting you or somebody you know or love? 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy and Harry and WGN. Thank you, Spike. It's Bill, it's Wendy, it's Harry, and it's you at 312-981-7200. We're talking about video game addiction. The World Health Organization now recognizes this as a legitimate problem. This is the addiction to video games. The text lines are filled with sad stories, busted up relationships. One woman who said that her son flunked out of college because he was focusing more on the video games than he was on his studies. I'm sure that happens every once in a while. Several callers. Let's talk to Ben first. Ben, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well. How are you today?
I'm good. Are you, in fact, a video game addict, Ben, would you say?
I would definitely put myself in that category, though I guess I'm more of like the alcoholics where I don't feel like I'm an addict. But I definitely fall into that category.
How much time do you put in?
Not including the weekends, during the regular weekday, somewhere between 40 and 80 hours. Depends on how many extra things I have to do around the house. If not much, then I'm just going to sit by my computer all day until I basically pass out or something happens to the internet and therefore I have to go stand up.
Do you have a job? I'm not being mean. I'm just wondering, do you work?
Yeah, I do. You're going to laugh a little bit, but I'm a full-time rabbi.
Oh.
I'm not going to laugh. That's quite a dichotomy.
Is there a blessing over World of Warcraft?
I would like to hope not, but I play a game called RuneScape, and it allows me to not just communicate, but also develop my character, and I don't have to think about anything else in the world, kind of like what you were saying earlier. And it really helps me cope with a lot of the things and that I deal with on a regular basis with the people that I counsel and with the people that I'm trying to help.
It's an escape.
Absolutely. And it's right there in the name.
So, Ben, the games that you play primarily, are they more aggressive-based games, would you say?
So this particular game that I play, it has two components to it. There's a skilling-based component where you can create things to help other players.
Yeah.
And there's also the dynamic of the regular MMORPGs where you are just fighting and they're coming out with new bosses and new mechanics, and you're attempting to master these mechanics the best that you can.
Right.
You know, in this day and age, there is a lot of stuff going on in our daily lives. I have ADHD, and thankfully, I can juggle a lot of things at one point. But then at some point in the night, I want to shut that off. And
yeah,
that's
right.
That. I mean, an escape. Harry, you said it. That's why people drink. That's why people do drugs. That's why people immerse themselves into video games. I don't know if one's worse than the other.
Yeah. Do you think it's a bad thing or a good thing for you, Ben, overall?
For me personally, it's definitely better than alcohol.
Sure.
yeah. Because between sessions, I can get online for whatever, 15, 20, 30 minutes at a time, and then I can get right back into my regular thing where I can't do that with alcohol or some of the other vices that I know a lot of people like to use.
Yeah.
So it allows me to have a clear head as well as I feel like I have a family online, which I guess is the biggest draw.
Yeah.
Where my clan and my friends online are like real people, even though I've never met them. I probably will never, ever meet them.
Would it surprise you to learn they are all rabbis?
It definitely would.
I think there's a Rabbi Gamers YouTube channel.
I think you should come up with your own game where, like, a rabbi, you know, has to kick butt and, like, save people that are in prison. Yeah, call it High Holidays or something.
Now, do you have, you said you feel like these people online are your family. Do you have real family physically that are close to you that you have a great relationship with?
I do. I have a wonderful relationship with all five of my brothers. And I come from a very large family.
So
I hang out with them on the Sabbath, because on Sabbath we don't play video games.
Yeah.
Well, then you don't have a problem.
it's a big problem. We play other games like Settlers of Catan. We have games, all kinds of board games. I'm not sure which ones you're familiar with.
I got to say, Ben, the dreidel on the Xbox is amazing. It's so unique.
Come on, Shin.
Come on, Shin. Ben, thank you for opening up and telling us this. This is quite a story. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Take care. How about that?
But do you think, I mean, does that ruin him? He has
no. He seems
well rounded. Other than that,
and the World Health Organization says there's a big difference between if you're playing a game that's an online social interaction and as opposed to one that's more of a cosmic survival mechanism.
Oh, that makes sense. All right,
know what that means.
Let's do this.
Candy Crush.
Yeah.
No wonder I didn't know what that meant.
All right, a quick break, and then Steve will come by. We'll find out what he's got on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Harry and Wendy on WGN.